Thank you, worship team. Hey, you can be seated. Come on. As you're being seated, who's glad to be in the house of God and grateful for what the Lord has done in your life? Let me hear from you. You got your Bible with you this morning. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll get there here in a moment. And I'm going to continue this morning in our series for January called 2020 Vision. And you know, when I started to pray and just consider what the Lord would have me to speak into in 2020, you know, it was kind of a softball for a preacher, you know, going into the year 2020. And so much so, it's a little cliche. I thought, Lord, I don't know that that's what I want to do. But the Lord just quickly began to speak to me and remind me about the significance and the importance of having a personal vision from God for your life. And Proverbs 29:18 says it this way so clearly, that where there is no vision, the people perish. And another translation says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Another translation even says it this way, that where people don't accept divine guidance, the call of God upon your life, that people run wild. And so the heart of God is this, that there's a vision that he has for your life. There's a plan, there's a dream, there's a purpose that he has for your life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Listen, God has a future for you, and he wants to show it to you. He wants to show it to you. And in a new year, there's no better time than to take stock of where you've been and what you've gone through and what God is calling you to and leading you to, who he's calling you to be, what he's calling you to do, and what he's made possible through the cross of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the light of his word for you to become. Come on, as a man of God, as a courageous, faith-filled man of God, as a woman of God, filled with his purpose and living out the destiny of God for your life, having a vision from God. In the midst of a world, come on, there are many opinions about how you should live and who you are and what you should do and what the world has to say about how to do your marriage and how to raise your family and how to handle your money and how to live out your sexuality. All kinds of things that the world has to say about how to live life, but God has a vision for your life. Where there is no vision from God, people perish. People cast off restraint. In other words, it's this. When we don't have a word from God that is a revelation from him about what's really possible, about who you are in him, because of what Jesus has done, not because of anything we could do, not because we figured it out, or not because we finally got smart enough, but because we begin to put our trust in him and the work of the cross. When we don't have that vision in our hearts, and I mean, I believe that God wants it burning in your heart. Come on, men of God, burning in your heart for who he's calling you to be. Come on, a man of God's word and a man of prayer, a man who's humble before God, yet still bold and courageous and strong before God, a man who serves his wife and his children. Women of God, that you're filled with his purpose and filled with his character, and everything you put your hands to prospers, your family and your workplace, because you're leaning upon not on your own strength, but upon his grace for your life, that's what he desires to come alive on the inside of you. And the word of God says that when you don't have that, you cast off restraint. In other words, when I don't have something that I'm focused on and something that I'm living towards and something that I'm moving forward towards, there are decisions in my life, and life is a series of decisions. The pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decisions. Decisions like Pastor Eddie will face next week when the Chiefs and the Titans play in the AFC Championship game. Who's he going to root for? He's a big Titans fan. Life is filled with decisions. And when I have a vision from God for my life, when it's alive on the inside of me, I know my identity in Christ. And I know who he's calling me to be and who he's invited me to become as a husband and as a man and as a father and as a friend and as a leader and as a servant. It allows me to consider the decisions that every day holds and begin to evaluate them in light of who God's called me to be, the vision that God has given me for my life and for my marriage and for my family. And it allows me to look at this decision and say, I'm saying no to this so I can say yes to God. I'm saying no to this. I'm not going to say that word. I'm not going to go to that website. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to find myself in those places anymore, because God has something better and higher for my life than that is going to lead me to. Without a vision from God, come on, a vision from God for your life as a man of God, as a woman of God, a vision from God for your marriage and your family and your future. It's what he desires for you to find, and you find it by spending time with him. You find it by getting into his word, and you find it by getting with God's people in God's presence, and he wants to speak it to you, I believe, in a new way or a fresh way as we go into 2020. A vision from God, a dream from God, a purpose from God. And listen, vision is more important than sight. Spiritual vision is so much more important than sight. Your sight will fade with your age. Sight fades with time. Your sight can even be stolen or taken from you in the natural realm. But when you get a vision from God, and come on, it's hidden deep in your heart, it's almost impossible to steal. The trials, the cares of this world, the naysayers and the negative Nancys and the people that come against you, come on, they can try their best. But when your vision, when your purpose, when your sense of identity is hidden in your heart and it comes from God, it becomes hard to steal and it becomes hard to take. Sight can fade with time. Sight can be stolen or taken, but a vision from God that's hidden in your heart, it even grows stronger with time because you go through some things and you see the hand of God and you see the faithfulness of God and it begins to be sharpened with time. That's the kind of vision that God wants you to have for your life. That you can begin to make daily decisions that allow you to take ground and move forward towards God and towards his very best. Come on, the abundant life that Jesus came to make a way that you and I can experience. Aren't you grateful that Jesus came to give us abundant life and not just a system of religion? He didn't come to set up a denomination. He didn't even just come to set up an organization or come to just get you to just come to church once a week or as often as you can make it. He came to give you abundant life. That's what's in his heart. The vision of God is the abundant life. It's the best life. It's your best marriage. It's your best family. It's your best future. And it's found in him. And someone ought to say amen. Sight's a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of your heart. Vision's a matter of your heart. And the Apostle Paul said it this way to the church of Ephesus. In Ephesians 1, verse 18, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know. He said, I know there's a lot that you're seeing going on in the world. And listen, in the day and the hour that we live in, political tension and terrorism and wars and rumors of wars, there's a lot clamoring for our attention. And he said, there's a lot that you're going to see with your natural eyes. But he said, my prayer for you, this apostle in the faith, this spiritual father in the faith, he said, my prayer for you as the people of God is that the eyes of your heart will be open, that you'll begin to see some things differently, that you'll begin to see some things clearly, that you'll begin to see some things through the lens of my word and my heart and my will and my good hope and my good plan for you and your future. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Why? In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that there are so many promises that he has for you that he came to deliver to you in this life and for eternity, and that the eyes of your heart would be open, that you would begin to see the incomparably great power for us who believe. It's the promise of God for you and me, the hope that we have, this glorious inheritance that we have, these rich rewards that he desires to begin to bless us with, and the incomparable power that we have in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's for you and that's for me. Come on, look at someone next to you this morning and tell them, this is for you. These promises are for you. This is God's heart for you. Not just for the person to your left or your right. It's for every person that's in this room this morning. But we got to begin to see some things differently. He said, I pray that you'd start to see through eyes of faith. I pray that you'd start to see through your heart. There's... Vision, sight rather, comes from the natural eyes, but vision from God comes from seeing things by faith, beginning to see some things differently, beginning to see some things from God's perspective. Listen, some of you need to begin to see some of the things that God has brought you through differently. He brought you through. He allowed you to go through the test. He allowed you to go through the trial. He allowed you to go through the mess so that he could make your mess into a message, your trial into a triumph, your test into a testimony. God wants to build upon in 2020, what he brought you through in 2019. But we got to start to see it differently. We got to start to ask God to open the eyes of our heart. Would you pray with me this morning? Let's ask God to do that very thing today. Let's ask him to speak to us today. Let's ask him to use his written word and the preaching of his word to open our hearts in a new way or a fresh way to see maybe differently or in a fresh way. Maybe he wants to remind you of some things this morning that he's already spoken over your life. He's spoken over your marriage this morning. And so, come on, I'm going to pray over us corporately, but come on, people of God, men and women of God, right where you sit this morning, come on, call upon the name of the Lord. Ask him this morning. Invite his presence this morning. Invite his word this morning into your life. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity. Man, what a privilege it is to be gathered as your people, to be gathered in your presence, and to have the opportunity to open up your word, which is filled with your promises. Now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you would speak to us today to strengthen us as your people, God, and any of us who are in this place today who maybe are weak or weary or wounded or hurting, God, in any area of our life, God, any area, maybe physically or spiritually or emotionally or relationally, we thank you, God, that your heart is to show up in this place and to heal. Your heart is to show up in this place and speak life. Your heart is to show up in this place and to bring restoration and to bring new hope, God, and fresh hope for the future that you're leading us to, God. And we open our hearts. We open our lives before you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and that there would be fresh clarity, God, about who we are in you, our identity in Christ, and that there would be fresh clarity, God, about who you are to us, God. And we give you thanks for what you're going to do in our lives today in advance, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And come on, all of God's precious people said, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's revisit it real quickly. Just grace me. If you were here last week, you've heard a little bit of this, but I want to catch everyone up to speed since we're in just week two of this series. And then we'll dig into a few things that God put on my heart for this morning. And Hebrews chapter 12 says this, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. Someone say perseverance. The race that's marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I challenged this last week with three things. And number one was that it's time to fix our focus. That there's a lot of things that are clamoring for our attention. And listen, I'm just telling you, in 2020, I alluded to it a moment ago, but there's an election that's coming, and there's terrorism that's in the world, and there's wars and rumors of wars. There's a lot of things that are clamoring for your attention and for your focus. And the invitation and the call and the challenge of God for us in this season is to fix our focus on Jesus. I say, Lord, we're drawing our strength and we're drawing our perspective upon who you are, who we are in you, and what your word has to say about every situation. Regardless of how we see, come on, we cannot afford to be led around by our feelings. We're called to live by faith and not by sight. We're called to live by a prophetic vision and how we see things through the heart of God and the will of God and the word of God. It's time to fix our focus on Jesus. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him this morning, fix your focus. Fix your focus. Fix your focus upon the Lord. Fix your focus upon his word. Fix your focus. The number two thing was it's a time to follow through. And that scripture says, let us run the race that God has set before us. Let us run with perseverance, understanding that there will be obstacles, that there will be opposition. Come on, anywhere where there's a promise of God, you better expect the enemy of your soul to show up and oppose and resist and try to get you intimidated and fearful and backing up and shrinking down from the thing that God has laid out before you. And it says, let us run the race. It's a time to follow through. It's a time to hear the word of God and take actions. It's a time to put our hands to the thing that God has spoken to our hearts. It's a time to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And maybe there's some things that God has spoken over you and the enemy has used the scheme and the attack of procrastination where you've said, maybe one day or when this happens or when I get enough money saved up or when they call me and invite me or whatever it is, then in that season, I'll step into the thing that God one time spoke to my heart. And I believe that 2020, come on, there's a time for everything under the sun, says the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's a time for planning and there's a time for preparing and there's a time for anticipating. But I believe that God spoke to us personally. And in speaking to us corporately, that 2020 is the time for following through. 2020 is the time for putting our hands to some things and trusting God for the results. 2020 is the time for stepping out in faith into some things. Come on, you might not have everything lined up. You might not know. You might not have a guarantee of success. But come on, the blessed assurance that you have is that he is with you and that he is for you. And if you'll keep your eyes and your heart focused upon him, and if you'll keep your eyes and your heart focused upon the why for what he's calling you to do, to be a blessing, that you're blessed to be a blessing, that the thing that you're doing is to make a difference and impact others and reach others for the glory of God and for the good of the people that he's put in your life. Come on, you can trust that he's going to show up and he's going to make a way. Come on, we sing that song and it's more than just a good song. He really is a way maker. He's a door opener. And 2020 is a time to fix our focus and a time to follow through. Come on, what is it in your life? What is it that's been stealing your focus? And what is it that God's calling you to in this season? Maybe he's reminding you of. And this is the day and this is the hour to begin to put your hands to the thing that God has put in your heart. Stepping up and showing up to serve and make a difference. Stepping up and stepping out to go back to school, to prepare yourself for the thing, or to start the business that you've dreamed about starting, but fear has caused you to shrink back. What if I fail? Or to step up and start the ministry to minister to single moms or to homeless people or to the sick and the hurting or whatever it is that God's put in your life and spoken to your heart
And I'm telling you, the enemy, a lot of times, he doesn't have to destroy your dream. He can just distract you from your dream. And this season, he's speaking to us. Fix your focus and follow through on some things. And the third thing was that it's a time for finding new freedom. And that scripture says, let us throw off everything. Come on, everything. Everything and anything that hinders you. Everything and anything that hinders you. And I appreciate that God's word says, it acknowledges that so easily entangles us. It's so easy. The struggle is real. Come on, what is it that entered into your life that isn't God's best? And it's been holding you back from being and becoming the man of God that God's called you to be, the woman of God that God has destined you to become. And the Bible says that we recognize those things and that we apprehend the grace of God. We can't do it in our own strength. Come on, if you've ever tried to get free of something in your own strength, it's a struggle, but we can apprehend something that goes beyond our own strength, and it's called the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's found at the cross of Jesus Christ. And in this season, God's calling us to the cross. He's saying, what are those things, those mindsets or those patterns or those sinful behaviors that have been holding you back or hindering you from becoming and from running the race that I've called you to? And in this season, we need to find freedom. He says, throw those things aside. Lay those things aside. Bring those things to the cross and receive my forgiveness and receive my grace to begin to live. Receive my empowerment. Receive a fresh infilling, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there's a power that God desires to give us that we can begin to soar above and live beyond some of the things that in last year or the previous decade have held you back or hindered you from the things that God has called you to. It's an invitation. Come on, it's not an obligation. This is an invitation. It's God's heart for you and for me. To fix our focus on him. Follow through on some things. Put our hands to the things that God is speaking to your heart. And to find freedom. Come on, get real with God. Get real with God. What are those things that are hindering you? Holding you back. I mean, again, I appreciate the Bible. God acknowledges it so easily happens. You look up and you didn't intend to get addicted to the thing or entangled in the thing or embroiled in the thing. And this is a season where God's saying, throw those things off. Receive fresh grace and fresh forgiveness and begin to look forward to the things that I have for you. It's a grace that compels us to grow. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's the grace of God that allows us to begin to look up from some things that maybe we've been caught up in and begin to find freedom so that we can begin to move forward. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And he said it so plainly and he said it so clearly. And he said, no, dear brothers and sisters, come on, that's you and me today. That's the heart of God. He's speaking to us today. And he says, I've not achieved. In other words, he's just saying, he's making a statement of humility. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I've got a lot of things and a lot of room to grow in my faith and in my relationship with Jesus. He said, but I do focus on this one thing. There's one thing that I've realized that in the midst of continuing to grow and every day needing the grace of God, there's one thing that I realize that I got to do, and that's forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. The call of God in this season as we turn the calendar. Come on, the call of God on this is fresh every day. His mercies are new every morning. But as we turn the calendar and there's a new calendar and 2020 lies before us, it's the opportunity to begin to look forward. And here in a couple weeks, we're producing a video and as a staff, we're documenting all the things and all the ways that God allowed us and graced us and invited us to do and the difference that he invited us to make in our community as a church that you had a part in through stepping up and showing up and serving or giving. And we're looking back and we're remembering some of the things that God did and some of the ways that he was faithful. But don't let the enemy allow you to get caught in the things that were challenges. Don't let him get caught in your mistakes of your past. So many people get so tied up in the regret and the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of real challenges and real mistakes that we made. And the Apostle Paul was saying, the same Apostle Paul who said, I struggle sometimes. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. And he said, one thing I've learned, I forget what's in the past, and I just move forward. And maybe God's calling you in a fresh way or in a new way this morning to forget some things from your past, to not allow the enemy and the voice of the enemy to come and keep you tethered to some of those bad decisions, poor choices, or sinful behavior. And he's saying, receive my forgiveness in a fresh and new way and begin to move forward. It's a new day, declares the Lord. Number 7. Is an accounting of number 7 and 8 and Exodus 25 are an accounting that God is giving instructions to the people of Israel in building and orchestrating the tabernacle of God. And they're beautiful passages, and I'd encourage you to go read them on your own time. But as I was reading through it, the Lord just really highlighted something to me that honestly I had never seen, though I had read this before. And starting in Numbers chapter 7, verse 89, it says this. It says, whenever Moses went into the tabernacle to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from between the two cherubim above the ark's cover, which is the place of atonement, that rest on the ark of the covenant. And the Lord spoke to him from there. And I'm just telling you this morning that the Lord still is speaking to his people from the place of atonement, which is now the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary is speaking life over you. The cross of Calvary is speaking the love of the Father over you. The cross of Calvary is speaking a better word over you than maybe what was spoken over you by your grandparents or your great-grandparents or your parents or your teachers or your professors or whatever who maybe put limitations and lids on you and said, you'll never be or you'll never become or why can't you be like? And the cross of Jesus Christ, he spoke to Moses from the place of atonement. And he's speaking to you from that place of redemption and atonement and reconciliation and restoration, a perfect relationship with the Heavenly Father who loved you too much to leave you where you were. He sent Jesus to pay the price that we could not pay. And he's speaking to you. And he spoke to Moses from that place and turned the page. It's a continuation. And starting in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron the following instructions. And catch this. This is powerfully significant. And symbolically, powerfully, powerful to our lives today, especially in light of what the Apostle Paul encouraged us with as believers. And he says, give Aaron the following instructions. When you set up the seven lamps, and they've set up all these things tied to the tabernacle. And go back and read it. It's amazing the detail and the excellence with which God brought instructions for setting up the tabernacle of his presence. Things made of gold and just ornate. It's just amazing how excellent God is. And he said, regarding the lampstand that was set up, the seven lamps in the lampstand, watch what he said. He said, place them so that their light shines forward. Place them so that their light shines forward in front of the lampstand. So Aaron did this. He set up the seven lamps so that they reflected their light forward, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And Exodus 25 is just a more detailed accounting of the same instruction from God, and it underlines the same idea that God was wanting the light of his presence to lead people forward. And he says, then make the seven lamps for the lampstand and set them so that they reflect their light forward. Come on, God is leading you forward. And his word is it's a lamp to your feet, sure enough, but it's a light to your path. And God wants to come and he wants to begin to speak to you and show you the answers and he wants to begin to speak to you and give you the instructions from heaven and the instructions from the heart of God to know what your very next and first step is. But move forward. Don't get caught looking backwards. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to become caught in a painful or difficult season or chapter in your life. You might have been through some things in 2019. I'm telling you, those are the very things that God wants to build upon in 2020. Don't get stuck. Look forward. Move forward. In your marriage, maybe it's been tough. Move forward. Allow the Lord to keep writing your story. Come on, it's just one chapter of your life. It's just one page of your story. And I'm promising you, if you'll stay faithful to God and you'll fix your focus upon him and allow him to allow you to keep moving forward, there's a better day that's coming for you in the name of Jesus. Move forward. He said, make sure that these lamps, make sure that the light that I'm giving, make sure that the light that's representing my heart and my word and my presence is shining forward, because I desire for my people to be on the move. And I desire for my people not to get stuck in the things of the past, but move forward into the greater things and the better things that I have in my heart, the good plans that I have for my people. Come on, look at someone next to you and tell them, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. This is important. If you want to see some new things and some more that God has for you in 2020 and beyond, you got to move forward from some things, break free from some things, throw off some things that hinder and entangle you. Move forward. You know, I'm so grateful that in my pickup truck that I don't have to drive by looking at my rearview mirror. You know, my windshield is like this big, you know, or even wider than I can stretch my arms. My rearview mirror is about this big. And just try to get to a destination that you're going to by keeping your focus on your rearview mirror and just see how that goes for you. But how many of us are living that way? I mean, really, how many of us? God's inviting you and he's calling you and there's something great that he's laid out before you, but the enemy is trying to get you to stay focused on what's happened in your past. And maybe every now and then you got to check your rearview mirror just to make sure that some crazy person isn't trying to catch up to you or knock you off track, you know, or whatever. And just do a little maintenance and just kind of turn around and just say, hey, back off, you know. But for the most part, God's inviting you and he's calling you to look forward. Come on, look forward, look forward. Keep your eyes ahead. Keep your eyes focused. Fix your focus on what God is inviting you to. And I want to challenge you with four things, four areas. There's a lot of areas that we could fix our focus on. But listen, I really believe, people of God, that if we will accept this invitation to focus on these four areas in our life in 2020, we'll fix our focus and we'll hear what God has to say. We won't just hear, but we'll begin to do and put our hands to some of the things he speaks to our heart. That we'll find some additional, we'll experience some of the additional abundant life that God has in his heart for you. Those four things are your faith, your personal faith, your relationship with Jesus Christ, your family, your marriage and your children, and if you don't have a wife or kids, your spiritual family, relationships, in other words. And the third and fourth things are your finances, that God has a plan for your finances. Listen, if you don't believe that that's important, just look at the statistics of how many suicides and divorces, the root cause are financial stress and problems. And the last one is a little bit unique, but I really believe it's what the Lord spoke to me. And a lot of this are things that he's challenging me with personally, but I leave their significance to us corporately. And the last one is our fitness. And it doesn't just mean physically. There's that, although that's important, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But that there's a spiritual, there's a physical, there's an emotional, there's relational fitness, and that there are things and there are steps of activity that God has called us to participate in that allow us to become more spiritually fit and physically fit and emotionally fit and relationally fit. And there are some things maybe he's warned us about getting involved in or allowing to enter into our lives or consuming that would cause us harm in those areas. And so God's calling us to focus on our faith and our family and our finances and our fitness. And number one today, I want to talk to you about our faith. And it's about all I have time to get to this morning. And those are the four F's. And now to underline, just kind of walk out, how do we grow in our faith? I've got four P's. Come on, it has to be from God if it all starts with the same letter, amen. And to grow in our faith, I believe that, again, there's other things that could be on this list, but I believe that if we'll focus on these four things, it's almost like four legs on a table. And if we'll make sure that we're focusing and staying active and involved in these four areas, number one is God's presence. Number two is God's promises. Number three is God's people, staying connected to God's people. And number four is staying actively engaged in God's purpose for your life. And I believe that there are times and there are people, there are seasons where we're strong in one or two of those areas or maybe even three, but if we get distracted or allow the enemy to steal our focus from being involved in one of those things, that our table can begin wobbly. Come on, who's ever been on one of those tables at a restaurant where you got to put the sweetened oat packets underneath the fourth leg, you know? But he's calling us to focus on his presence, being in his presence. God's calling us back to some things, church. And I really believe that for revival to be restored and for our nation to be healed and for marriages and families to be strengthened and repaired and restored and strong in God, that really he's just calling us back to some things. He's calling us back into his presence and he's calling us back to be a people of prayer. He's calling us back to our knees. And many of us have become so, we know we ought to and we know we should and we even want to, but we become so preoccupied with the urgent matters of life that we're forgetting about the most important matters of life. God's calling us to prioritize and maybe even be disciplined in some things to say, God, in this season, I recognize that to do everything that Pastor T is challenging me to do and to be, that I can't do it in my own strength, that I've got to find myself in your presence and that I've got to start each day in your presence and I've got to call upon your name and I've got to ask for your grace to do everything that you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. God's calling us to be a people of prayer. And listen, in the seat back behind you, and I want you to actually take it in your hands. There's a card there that outlines our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I think we're about 7 days into it. And I want to encourage you, and I want to invite you to take that card in your hand and take it with you and take it home and put it somewhere where it's prominent in your life. Put it in your Bible. Or tape it on your bathroom mirror, or put it next to your coffee brewer, on your refrigerator, underneath the magnet, or whatever, and put it somewhere where you see it every day. And then I want to invite you. We don't have to do these things. We get to do these things. It's not an obligation. It's an invitation. And I want to just encourage you. Maybe this is a season to experience some of the more that God has for you. But I believe to experience the more that God has in store, some of us need to experience and say yes to the new that he's calling us to. And maybe in a new way, God's calling you to be a person of prayer. And maybe just take one step by taking that card home and saying, you know what? I'm going to agree with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And every day, whether it's just for a few moments or maybe 20 minutes I carve out, I'm going to say no to some things. Maybe I'm going to say no to that time I would normally spend scrolling social media. Or maybe I'm going to fast a meal every day and I'm going to set aside some time to just spend in prayer and spend in your presence and agreeing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we put 21 items on that list, and there's a lot of good things that we could have put on that list, but those are just some of the areas that we believe are important for us as the people of God to present before God. Areas that we need to see God show up and provide and direct and protect. And so in this season, God's calling us to be a people of prayer. And would you join with us and take that home? And there's another feature that we've made available. You can text, and you can do it right now. Come on, you can take out your phone in church if you want and text 2020 to that number that we use often, 30500. And every morning, you'll get a very brief little reminder just saying, today's prayer point in our 21 days of prayer and fasting is this. And it'll just serve as a reminder that as you go through your day or go through your morning to just get rallied together in unity and trust God to move in our lives and in the lives of others. Come on, we're called to be a people of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. To experience the more that God has in store, maybe we have to say yes to the new that he is calling us to. And Jesus said this in Mark 2, verse 2. He said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. And new wine calls for new wineskins. And God's the one that provides the new wine, but we're the ones that provide the wineskin. And what it represents to us is maybe our schedule and our calendar and the way we go about life. And maybe there's some things that God is calling us to see differently and make some different decisions to make room and to make time and to make space for God in a new way. He's calling us to be a people of prayer. He's calling us to be a people of praise. And listen, if there's anything that Rev City Church is going to be, it's going to be a house of worship and prayer. And when we gather together, come on, we do so much more than just singing a few good Christian songs. We are calling on the name of the Lord. And we are praising him. And we're reminding ourselves about his faithfulness in difficult seasons. And we're declaring who he is in our lives. And listen, praise is powerful. But I remember what it was like to be new to that kind of an atmosphere. And I remember what it felt like as a 19-year-old kid who had come to know Jesus and was coming into a church that hopefully was like this. It was alive in God, and it was passionate for Jesus, and it was filled with people who were going after God and wanting to bring glory to God with their life and fulfill their purpose for their life. And I remember coming into that atmosphere, and I remember feeling the challenge of the fear of man and the pride of my heart. And being also just kind of a little bit overwhelmed by the people that were singing and shouting and lifting their hands and kneeling before God and dancing before the Lord and all the things that the Bible actually outlines as a prescription for how we praise and worship God. But I remember what it was like to be a little bit apprehensive. And then I also remember what it felt like to one of those days to finally summon enough courage to just kind of look around and make sure no one was looking at me and just kind of raise my hand to God. And I remember how just a little movement towards God began to set my heart free, my heart that was just until recently just shackled with fear and shackled with bondage, how I began to just respond to what God had done in my life. I began to sing, and I began to just lift my hand just a little higher and a little higher. And the higher I lifted it, the more free my heart became and the more courageous my heart became. And I'm just telling you, men of God, come on, you'll never be as strong and as courageous as when you are found in the presence of God, lifting your holy hands before him and recognizing that you can't be the strong, courageous man of faith and the difference maker in your family and in your community that God's called you to be without humbling yourself before God and without receiving his grace in your life. God's called us to be a people of praise, and praise is powerful. Come on, we're not just singing some good songs before the message. We are praising God, and watch what 2 Chronicles says about the power of praise. And it says this, in a time when the people of Israel were being surrounded by their enemies, it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers, worshipers, to walk ahead of the army, to go ahead of the fight, to go ahead of the battle, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is the song that they sing. Come on, there's a lot of songs that you can sing, but this is a pretty good one. And it says, give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And watch what it says in verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. When we praise God in the middle of the storm, it confuses our enemies. And I'm just telling you, there's some things that the enemy has launched against you, a full-scale attack upon your marriage or your health. And I'm telling you, the same is true for you today. If in the middle of your battle, people encamped all around you trying to take you out, if you'll just in the middle of that situation give a sacrifice of praise to God and say, God, you are faithful, and I'm going through some things, but you've seen me through some things before, and you are who you say you are, and you're the Lord of my life. I'm telling you today that I believe that it confused the enemy of your soul. And he'll look down from where he sits, and he'll say, I see that I've seen an attack against their health. I've seen an attack against their children. I've seen an attack against their finances. I've seen an attack against their relationships. And yet they still are standing and worshiping Jesus. And listen, God is omnipresent, but the enemy is an opportunist. He can't be everywhere at one time like God can. And the Bible says, submit to God and resist the enemy, and the enemy will flee. And I believe one of the greatest ways you can submit your life and submit your situations is to, in the middle of a storm, release it to God and say, God, I'm trusting you, and God, I'm praising you. And I might be going through a storm, but I'm still saying that you are Lord, and you are sovereign, and you are over it all. And I believe that the enemy looks at that, and he's an opportunist. He will eventually say, I'm moving on to someone else. I sent my best shot. I gave it my best attempt to get them to curse God and turn their back on God and get focused on themselves and get turned inwardly in their own pride, sin, or rebellion. And I sent all that against them, and they're still worshiping God. I'm moving on to the next person. Praise and worship is powerful, man. We're called to be a people of prayer. We're called to be a people of praise. Come on, when's the last time that you did something for the first time? Maybe you're in that place where I was when I came back to the Lord, and I was standing there kind of with my hands in my pockets, and I was more fearful about what others thought than fearing God himself. And maybe in this season, God's calling you to just make one step towards God. And I promise you, I'm just telling you. I know that one step towards God, just the raising of your hand or the singing of the words or the bowing of your heart, the closing of your eyes or the kneeling of your knees or whatever it looks like, I'm telling you, I promise you that will lead to freedom and courage and victory in your life in a way like maybe you've never experienced before. Praise is powerful. God's called us to be in his presence as people of prayer and as people of praise. God's called us to be connected to his people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says it this way. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I just think it's fascinating that early on in the life of the New Testament church, people were already finding reasons not to gather with other believers. And I don't know what those reasons were. I mean, maybe they didn't pick the carpet that they wanted them to pick, or they painted the walls the wrong color, or the music was too loud, or whatever it was, you know, but they were already not meeting with the people of God. And it says, don't be like that. Like some are growing distant from the people of God. You're called to be part of a spiritual family, and you're called to be part of the community of faith. And is there any reason that the enemy of his soul, of our soul, come on, he comes and he attacks relationships. And the Bible says that he's the accuser of the brethren. And he's always trying to get us offended at one another. He's always trying to get us to flee from relationships. Come on, anywhere where there's power, potential, or promise in your life, you better believe that the enemy's going to come and try to interrupt it and try to keep you away from it. And you're called to be part of a spiritual family. You're called to be part of a local church. You're called. Listen, there's something that God has invested in you. There's a testimony that you've lived through that someone else is going to need to hear. There's a spiritual gift that God has invested in you that needs to be activated, empowered, and released so that others are blessed by what God has blessed you with. And there's some things that other people have that you need. You're called to be part of a spiritual community. And I appreciate that we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true, you can't enter into faith without making a personal declaration, believing in your heart and confessing with your own mouth that Jesus is Lord. But you know what I see throughout the Bible is that after that personal relationship, much of what we experience is experienced in the context of community and fellowship and relationship and family. And just think about some of the things that the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, I'm there. If two or three will agree on something, it'll be done. Then think about the Lord's Prayer. We kind of miss this sometimes. Do you catch that the Lord's Prayer was established in the context of spiritual family? It could have said, God, give me my daily bread. That's not what God saw fit to say, right? What's it say? Lord, give us what? Our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. He's called you to be part of a spiritual family. He's called you to be part of a local church. He's called you to be part of a community of faith. And it's why here in the next few weeks, you're going to start hearing and seeing about the life group semester that we're establishing for the spring of 2020. And listen, we don't need another program to keep us busy. We don't need another thing in our calendar. We believe what God's word says right there. Don't forsake gathering together. In the book of Acts, several different places says that they gather together daily in the temple and house to house. And so it's why you're going to start to see that we're encouraging you. Go beyond just what God can speak to your life on Sunday morning. Get connected to relationships. Find a men's group or a women's group or a couples group and show up there and watch what God begins to do as you begin to lean into Christ-centered relationship and fellowship and begin to get real with some of the struggles maybe that you're walking through and begin to see how God uses some of the people that he puts around you to begin to encourage you and strengthen you and bring testimony into your life. And watch how he begins to inevitably use you to strengthen the others that God puts in your life. And listen, some of you are ready to begin to lead in life groups. And it's why on Wednesday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m., come on, right here at Rev City, we're going to have what we're calling the Life Group Leadership Party. And there's no obligation. If you are just interested in hearing more about what it would look like for you to step in and become part of a leadership team, and maybe you're not ready to lead a group on your own, maybe you would just say, hey, can I come alongside someone and help them to lead a group? Or maybe you would say, you know what, I have a home or an office that I could open up that might be a good host site for a small group. We would love for you to come to that meeting on January 22nd. Come on, a couple Wednesdays from now, 6:30, right here at the church. If you want more information, you can text LEAD to that number that we use, 30500, but there'll be childcare, there'll be food, there'll be games, and all we want to do is just begin to help you to see how you could connect to being used of God to make a difference in the lives of others. And we have a big vision for how God's going to grow that ministry and activate that ministry and all those groups of people that begin to gather to not only encourage one another, but begin to be activated to go out into our community and make a difference by doing outreaches together. You're called to be part of God's people, God's presence, God's promises, God's people, God's purposes. And the last one I feel like I have time to touch on this morning is God's promises, which are his word. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word I have treasured in my heart. And I believe God's calling us back to the Bible as our source of strength and our source of life and our source of wisdom for how to do life. Come on, we live in a culture where there's a million and one opinions about how to do everything that's important in your life. And I believe that God's calling us back to this place right here where we dust this book off and every day we get up and we realize it's daily bread for our life, which is intended to be converted into spiritual strength to live the best life that you and I can live. And I don't know about you, but I mentioned it earlier, like we can get so busy with the urgent matters of life that we forget the important things. Maybe that's you. Maybe you realize, wow, you know, I really have. At one time I used to study God's word and be in God's word, but I've just drifted away from it. Really, I believe in this season, God's calling us back to his word. He's calling us to be a people of prayer and a people of praise, and a people who are in his promises. Come on, learning and hearing what he has to say about your life, what his heart is for your home, and for your marriage, and for your future. And I came across something that really impacted me. And I want to show it to you before we close with some ministry and we close with praise. I saw this and it just really impacted me at how in my life I've grown in some ways, maybe just a little, I take for granted the fact that I have access to God's word. And sometimes I fall into the trap of kind of seeing it as a religious obligation to get into God's word instead of an invitation to read a love letter from my Heavenly Father that gather the wisdom that he desires to give to me for my life. And so I came across this. I wanted to share it with you. It's a group of precious people in the nation of China who have been reached by a missionary and have given their lives to the Lord Jesus, responding to the message that God loved them so much that he made a way to that they might be forgiven of their sins and made right with God. And They've responded to Jesus, but they've never had the opportunity to have God's word in their hands. Until now, and I saw this and it moved me. I hope it moves you too. Just stand to your feet this morning. I watched that and it just challenged me and really convicted me. This caused me to ask myself, how would I approach God's word? Have I really treasured it in the way that the psalmist wrote about? What would it be like if all of a sudden through whatever it is, an oppressive government or whatever, that there was all of a sudden I was restricted from this and it was stolen from me or taken from me or kept from me? Man, it just caused me to just say, Lord, I'm so grateful that I have the freedom to just be in your word anytime I want. And such ready access to just read the heart of God for me and the wisdom of God for my life. I just want us to respond to God. I really believe in this year, he's calling us. He's inviting us to fix our focus. He's inviting us and he's calling us to follow through on some things. He's inviting us and he's calling us to find freedom to throw off some things that have held us back. And he's inviting us to strengthen and grow our faith by pressing into his presence through prayer and through praise and through worship. He's inviting us to connect to his people in a new or a fresh way, and to receive what we receive when we get around the people of God, and to make a difference in the lives of others with some of the things God's done in our life. And he's calling us back to his word, which are his promises. Listen, if you want to respond to that invitation to do any or all of those things, or would you just respond by lifting your hands before God this morning? Just say, Lord, help me. Lord, grace me to fix my focus. And Lord, help me to begin to follow through on some things that you've maybe spoken to my heart. Help me begin to put my hands to those things. Lord, help me to, Lord, not get so caught up in the urgent things that I miss out on the most important things, spending time with you in your presence, finding my strength from you in prayer, from praising you in every situation, even the difficult ones, and finding my strength in you there, God, and from being in your promises every day, God. We commit ourselves to that, Lord. That's who you've called us to be. And we commit to that in a new and a fresh way in 2020 in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, right there where you are, people of God, just say, Lord, I want more of you, less of me. More of you in 2020. That's my heart's desire. That's what all this is about. This whole message is about just more of Jesus, more of God in our life, more of God in our homes, more of God in our hearts. And I'm just telling you, if we'll make the commitment to do it with intentionality, we'll fix our focus. Just watch. Just watch. Just watch what God will do in your life. And lastly, you can put your hands down. If you're here this morning and you're far from God, maybe you once knew God and served God. Maybe you even grew up in the church, but life happened and you got busy, you got distracted, and you're here today and you find yourself far from God. I'm telling you, if that's you, you are not here by accident. You're here because of the heart of a good father who's calling you and wooing you and longing for you to come back into his open arms and receive his forgiveness and receive a fresh start. All the stuff that you've been through washed away. Come on, not just the things you went through in 2019, but maybe things you've been through for a long time since you walked away from God. And if you're here this morning and that's you, or maybe you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and experience what it feels like to have the weight of your sin and your guilt and your shame removed off of you in a way you can never do in your own strength, but only by the free gift of grace, who is Jesus, that we receive in faith. Come on, if that's you, Don't wait. Don't delay. Lift your hand up right now towards heaven and say, God, that's me. God, that's me. Thank you for these precious people, Lord. Lifting their hands towards you. Thank you, Lord. One more moment. If that's you this morning, you're far from God and you want to come back home, give your heart to him. Give your life to him. Begin to live in a new way. Come on, there's no time like the start of a new year to begin to take that step. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this young man. Young man, there's leadership on your life. There's a call of God upon your life, and today everything changes. And you're still going to have some of that. You're still going to have to fight and battle for the destiny that God's called you to. There's a battle. There's every day is a day of daily decision. Am I going to do what God calls me to do, or am I going to cave and give into this? But God's going to begin to give you the grace and the strength to make some different decisions and to be set free. And you're going to start some new levels, a new legacy of faith in your life that you're going to pass on to your kids and to your family. And Lord, we just thank you for this young man and for his life and for the future that he has in you. Anyone else? Well, I know there are a few more hands that went up this morning. Anyone else respond and come home to God this morning? Well, we're going to pray this prayer with you. You can put your hands down. We do this often, and we do it for a couple of reasons. One is because we quickly want to just affirm to you, we want to be that spiritual family, that community of faith that comes alongside you and begins to encourage you in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus or your fresh relationship. And the other reason is because it reminds us that we never graduate from grace and that we need Jesus as much in 2020 as we did in 2019. Amen. So come on, church, let's pray this. Come on, many precious people lifted their hands and received Jesus this morning. Let's pray this with enthusiasm in our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you that life, and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus, I will never be the same. Come on, say it one more time. I'll never be the same. Come on, can we put our hands together for those precious people who gave their lives to the Lord this morning? I know we're running a little long this morning. Thanks for your patience. Let's praise God one more time, and then Pastor Eddie will come and he'll dismiss us.